Why do people shout? Why do people shout? I think maybe one of the main reasons is to be heard, right? You just want to be heard. You want to get someone's attention. People shout when in distress or maybe there's a need. People shout when demonstrating or protesting. People shout when cheering for something or someone. But we also know that shouting can be annoying, you know, and we've all heard people shouting, and maybe it's just annoying because of who it is or what they're shouting about. But the gospel lesson for today and in Mark's gospel begins with someone who's shouting. And it's shouting, the shouting is coming from a beggar. And maybe it's, you know, something that we've all heard. We've heard people shouting, haven't we? On the side of the road, side of the street, out there, just shouting, calling out for something, and oftentimes maybe we just ignore it and keep going. But the person who's shouting here probably in those days was just another one of society's expendables. And it's how he's treated. It doesn't seem like anyone is offering this guy any help. And when he shouts out to Jesus, the guy is put down for just being, you know, a nuisance. He's making a nuisance of himself to tell him to be quiet. No one's taking the time as he shouts out to Jesus to help him get to Jesus. Because they're probably thinking, you know what, Jesus just doesn't need to be bothered with one more person shouting from the side of the road. The blind man doesn't care. He just shouts even louder. He is not going to stop. And he shouts from desperation. This is where we stop. Sidebar, time out. We need to think about this. And sometimes when you understand what's going on kind of behind the scenes or the context, you find out a little bit more. Because something's very significant in this thing that's going on here. And what makes it significant is the when this is happening in Jesus' ministry. It just starts out, you know, Jesus is there and he's in Jericho and he leaves. But you need to understand what's going on here. This is really kind of one of Jesus' last stopping points. His ministry is coming to an end. And now it's time to head for Jerusalem. And all this stuff now is getting into Jesus' mind and head about what is looming in front of him. Because Jesus knows what's going to happen. He knows that in just a little over a week, he is going to be arrested and put to death. So again, we stop. You got to think about this. I don't know about you, but I know in my life, sometimes when there's an awful lot of stuff going on around you, and you've got a heavy weight on you, or you've just experienced something, or you're trying to process something, or you've given and given and given and given, and all of a sudden just your world is just clogged, your mind is clogged, and all of a sudden someone's kind of trying to get your attention, sometimes you just don't hear it. You don't hear it, or you don't notice it, or you just kind of ignore it. I think we've all been there. I know sometimes I get so caught up in what's going on in my world or in my mind, I just don't sometimes get the cues of what's going on around me. And so you got to kind of think about this, about what's happening in the scene here, particularly knowing what's going to happen in just a little over a week in Jesus' life, and he knows what's going to happen. I can't imagine if I was told, you know what, in a little over a week you're going to be dead. Just that alone would completely fog over my mind. And here, despite what looms before him, he can still hear the cries of other people in distress. And the crowd's trying to get this man to stop, be quiet. But what's the story? Jesus stops for him. The crowd usually gets things wrong. But you see, no one is too insignificant for Jesus. And here's Bartimaeus. He's been out there, particularly maybe because of his locations. He's probably heard the stories about this man, Jesus. And now he knows that he heard that this man, Jesus, is passing by, and he knows there's something different about him. And the crowd, you, be quiet, stop talking, stop shouting, you're annoying him. But Jesus stops and says, call him. We come to again to realize, yeah, Jesus came to serve, not to be acclaimed. Jesus answers Bartimaeus' insistent shouts and cries for help. And Jesus says, call him. Doesn't say who, but some guy is, goes over to him. I like the way it's phrased in the reading that we had. It says, here, like guys, cheer up, get on your feet. Actually, he's calling you. I like the way that's phrased. It just says he throws his cloak aside and jumps to his feet. And then Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do for you? It's a really odd question. But it forces him to reflect on what he truly wants for himself. And his response, I want to be able to see. I just want to see. And his response demonstrates enough faith to transform him from a blind man along the way to a person who sees and then follows Jesus. And Bartimaeus is healed. And he chooses not just to go off on his own way, because with his eyes now open, he says, I'm going to follow Jesus. And like the first disciples that Jesus called, Bartimaeus abandons his former way of life and leaves everything. It's interesting, it just says he just kind of throws the cloak off to the side. Not much. It's the only thing he owns. The cloak would have been placed in front of him during the day where people could throw coins, throw some support his way. During the day, at night, it was probably the only thing he had to keep himself warm. But the healing of blind Bartimaeus and the telling of his story is designed and intended to help us see things differently. Things that maybe we would have been blind to. So with opened eyes, more things are revealed. We see things that maybe we wouldn't have before. And particularly the way Mark puts these things together in his gospel account. Because this is not just a healing miracle that it is, but it speaks to what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple. It talks about this journey, this path, this way, and things that happen in that. If you just back up a bit, you have James and John and something connected with them. And they approach Jesus on the way, on their way. And Bartimaeus here cries out for mercy as he sits by the roadside. And it says, when Jesus restores his sight, he followed Jesus along the road. Now, it's interesting because Jesus asked both Zebedee's sons, James and John, the exact same question he asked this blind guy. What do you want me to do for you? And the response kind of reveals the real story here. James and John, they want to sit on thrones with Jesus and reign with him. Bartimaeus, sitting in dust, makes no demands for glory, but just shouts and cries out from his poverty, I just want to see. And the disciples see Jesus as the Messiah who's going to bring them glory. Bartimaeus sees him as the son of David who's going to restore sight. Now, Jesus can't grant the disciples' request for power, but he can grant the blind man's request for vision. Yeah, Jesus can heal physical vision and physical blindness, but more than that, he wants to heal spiritual blindness, to help people see what they never saw before. Kind of like that line from the hymn Amazing Grace, "I once was blind, but now I see." And that understands conversion as a move from blindness to sight. Bartimaeus represents the healing grace that many people have experienced, because they know what it's like, in a sense, to just sit there in the dust, in the dirt, forgotten, beggar, needing some mercy, some grace in their life, calling out desperately for help, but maybe other people just kind of put them down. "No, don't do that. Don't bother yourself with that." And then they come to find out what it means to be cared for by Jesus. And your voice heard, your cry heard, your desperation, you know, responded to with a call, an extension of grace. That question, you know, "What do you want me to do for you?" It's an odd question. But again, the question makes sense when you look at the entire chapter as a whole, because there's a lot of things going on where the others provided a marked contrast. Pharisees are trying to trick Jesus, trap him. A rich man wanted eternal security at minimal cost. James and John wanted to be the top officials in the kingdom. Maybe this blind man wanted some money to be able to have some resources to live, but Bartimaeus wants to see again. "So what do you want me to do for you?" in a sense, is the most important question God will ever ask any one of us, and the one to which we maybe frequently give the wrong answer to. What really, truly do we want in life? What is that question or that answer that we're seeking? What are we asking for? We see what other people were asking for also in the gospel. Herod asks his dancing stepdaughter, "Ask for whatever you want." And it comes back, "Well, how about the head of John the Baptist?" Pilate asks the crowd, "What do you want?" "Well, how about you release Barabbas, that known criminal, and why don't you arrest and kill Jesus?" Because the answer to how we answer that question is revealing, again, whether we want life or death, whether we want to be healed from our spiritual blindness or selfishly use God for our own desires. What do we really want in life? What are we shouting for, per se, in life? What are we trying to go after? Also, as a little side note here too, the crowd's negative reaction to the blind man's cries for help kind of raises an issue about the way we respond to people in need. You know, like Jesus, I think at times we need to stop and listen. Maybe stop and respond to some of the cries that we hear from people around us, maybe that are in need, and not just keep walking or dismiss. The blind man sitting by the side of the road was definitely annoying some people with his shouts to Jesus. But if you had to boil everything down in this passage here, the fact that Jesus stopped is the good news. That is the good news in the story, that Jesus stopped. Why? Because it says something about him. He's different, and he has plenty of time for anyone who asks, even beggars, and the good news is, even me. with all that stuff going on in Jesus' mind, knowing of what's coming in his future, and yet to stop and respond, that has to be good news for us. And we see the way he treats this man with respect. He meets his need and sets him free so he can go live his life. And whatever way Jesus was going, he says, that's the way I'm going too. I'm going to follow him. Bartimaeus followed Jesus. It speaks so much to the heart of God. And that's exactly what we see the heart of God being open and exposed in the Old Testament lesson for today in Jeremiah, where God is helping bring his people home where they had been in captivity for so many years. He's bringing his people home. They've been exiles. They've been gone for so many years, and now they're coming home, and God is bringing them home. All different kinds of people, but among whom we see are the blind and the lame and the expectant mothers and those who are, in a sense, about ready to give birth. Meaning these are all people, even at particular points of vulnerability in their life. He intends that all people make it home. And it was through his own suffering, his own life and death, that he was able to set us free. We are on our way home to our Heavenly Father. Freed, forgiven, protected by Jesus himself. Jesus was on the way to the cross. And on that way, that was what it's all about, isn't it? He heard the cry, and Jesus stopped and responded. And that's good news for us. We can follow the one, like Bartimaeus, who cares, who treats people with respect, no matter how annoying they may appear to be, in any given context, no matter how little maybe we even think that we deserve the help, Jesus stops. The fact that Jesus stopped is the good news for him. It's the good news for me. It's the good news for you, for all people. We have a God who stops. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, in Christ Jesus. Amen.